Here is Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid, with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Danny Ross, and Diana Day in
Get Well Soon, Granddad.
Nothing like a nice cup of tea and a bit of peace and quiet.
Oh, you're in here, Mum.
Well, that's the end of the peace and quiet.
Hey, are you ready to go to the hospital? It's nearly 6 o'clock, you know.
The visiting time is 7 o'clock on Fridays.
Oh, heck yes. Same blinking time as the Virginian. I'll be glad when me granddad's out of hospital and I don't have to keep going to see him. I'm fed up having his neck washed twice a day. Can I go out to play, then?
No. You've just put your clean clothes on. Now, come here. What's that on your neck?
Skin. What's on yours?
Don't be funny. I hope I can't see your tide, Mark.
So do I. Hey, get off, Mum.
Keep still. Well, your neck's all right for once, and your ears. Well, well, clean face, clean shirt, clean shoes. Are you coughing?
Oh, very funny, our Mum. Anyway, lads who go out with girls are daft. Look at Alfie Hall. One smile from our Susan and he changes into a lovesick spaniel. He sits there with his mouth open waiting for a juicy bone. And what does he get? Craggy Amy.
All right, don't be calling Susan when she's not here.
Well, where is she? She should be going to see me granddad in hospital.
She went last night. Alfie's taken her to the pictures tonight. They arranged it ages ago. Oh, now who can that be? I was hoping to have a rest for half an hour.
I'll go and get rid of them, Mum.
You be careful what you say.
I know what to say. If they're selling something, we've got it. And if it's the insurance man, he's had it.
You'll say nothing of the kind.
All right, don't wear your thumb out.
Oh, Jimmy, I thought you were never coming.
From the look of you, you're nearly gone. Come in, Alfie.
Oh, dear. Do you know, I've run all the way. I'm worn out. Help!
Well, now you're on the floor, you can have a rest. Hey, I was looking for that. Oh, thanks, Alfie.
Jimmy, what's happened?
Alfie Holmes found me roller skate.
What are you talking about?
Alfie, you're dead clever. I looked all over the house for that roller skate, and he found it as soon as he came in.
Oh, Cheryl. Yeah, hello, Mrs. Clitheroe.
Hello, Alfie. Are you all right? Jimmy, I've told you about leaving things lying about.
Ooh, if you left a pin lying about, he'd fall over it.
Don't you be cheeky.
Oh, it's right, Mrs. Clitheroe. Everything's gone wrong since tea time.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, I was just starting on my kibble when I remembered I had to meet Susan at 6 o'clock, so I jumped up, slipped, fell on my dad and shoved his head in the custard. But my man said, sit down, and my dad said, drop dead. But, you know, I got that flushed. I put me knife and fork on the chair, poured salt in my tea, put sugar on my kipper, took a big bite and sat down. A fishbone stuck in my throat and the fork stuck in my driving license. So I don't, can I have a drink of water?
He must breathe through his ears.
Drink of water, Alfie. Yes, yes, of course you can. I think I'll have one as well.
Oh, calm, Mrs. Clitheroe. Jimmy, is she sulking upstairs, your Susan?
I shouldn't think so. If she's had to pay for herself, she'll be sulking downstairs in the Three Bobs.
What do you mean?
Our Susan's gone to the pictures.
Well, I like that. But who's she gone with?
You.
Oh, well, that's different, isn't it? Oh, dear. I remember now. I said I'd meet her outside at 6 o'clock, and it's nearly that now. What am I going to do?
A 2-minute mile.
Hey, don't be funny. I'm going to get there quick.
I'll sell you that roller skate. Only 10 bucks.
Oh, don't talk, Jeff. Oh, Jim, Susan will be going mad.
Well, don't bring her here. Take her to the animal clinic.
Here you are, Alfie. I brought a cup of tea instead. Oh, has he gone?
I don't think he was ever with us. Granddad's asleep.
So he is. Sister, perhaps we'd better not disturb me, Father. I'll leave this fruit with you.
No, you may as well wake him now. Otherwise, he'll never sleep tonight.
You don't know me, Grandad, sister. He was the only man in the Merchant Navy who could sleep in a hammock with both ends on the same hook.
Well, I'll bet he needs all the rest he can get to cope with you.
You're right, sister. The only way to get any rest in our house is to buy yourself a box of sleeping tablets and then give them to our Jimmy.
Yes, I can quite believe that. Well, I'll be seeing you later, Mrs. Clitheroe. I'm just going to have a word with the doctor about Mr. Sinclair.
Oh, well, thank you, sister.
Come on, ma'am. Let's go and wake sleeping Mac Beauty. Come on, Grandad. Close your mouth and open your eyes.
Wake up, Father. He's dreaming, I think.
Yes, he's licking his lips. It must be hot pot night at the Rose and Crown.
Father. Father, wake up.
Last orders, please.
A last whiskey, please. Hello, Jimmy. Pat. Yeah, I must have closed my eyes for a few minutes.
You did, 3 hours ago.
All right, Jimmy. How do you feel, Father?
Fine, Pat. I feel fine. I've had no pain in my back for 2 days.
Ah, good. The sister said they were very pleased with your progress. It was just a badly strained muscle.
Aye, but I must be careful about lifting anything heavy for a while.
Well, you'll have to change to light ale.
Now, that'll do, my lad. It's your fault I'm here, remember?
Yes, Grandad, and I haven't half missed you. Every morning when I get up for school, the house is dead quiet. I've missed hearing you singing, "Oh, it's nice to get up in the morning," while you lie in bed supping tea.
Ah, well, son, I've missed you too.
Clitheroe, I've got some very good news for you. I told the doctor Mr. Sinclair could rest at home and there was someone there to look after him, and he said he can be discharged tomorrow after lunch.
Oh, thank you, sister.
Yes, thank you. That's wonderful.
Smashing, Grandad. Hey, what about this pound of grapes we brought? You'll never get through that lot by tomorrow.
Oh, there's plenty of sick people here to give them to.
How about giving them to me?
You're not sick.
I will be after I've eaten all these grapes. Anybody there? Good. All clear. That daft grocer. Putting the eggs where they'd fall off the bag. If I put it on the floor, it might look as though it's fallen off the kitchen table.
What are you doing?
Oh, you daft thing. I thought my mum had caught me.
Of course, you're doing what?
I meant called me. Anyway, you keep your big nose out of it.
And what if I don't?
I'll put a clothes peg on it and hang you on the washing line.
Right, I'll call Mother.
Oh, no, don't, Susan. I didn't mean it. I wouldn't do anything to you, Susan. After all, you're my sister and brothers and sisters should help each other.
Oh, should they?
Oh, yes. I mean, I'd help you any time. If you want me to do anything, you only have to say the word.
I know. The word I have to say is money. Anyway, pass me that carrier bag and I'll put the groceries away.
Oh, no, I'll do it, Sue. It's too heavy for you.
You're up to something. I want to look in that bag.
Oh, no, you don't. Get away.
Give it here.
What are you two doing, pushing and shoving each other like that?
I was trying to...
It keeps me all time dancing.
Very funny. I'll leave him to you, Mother. I'm going out. I should have a look in that grocery bag.
Oh, fly away, stool pigeon.
Jenny, what is all this?
I'm off, Mother. I've got an appointment at the hairdresser's.
When you come back, you'll have another appointment with my football boot.
Oh, no, Jimmy, you're the limit. A dozen eggs and there's only one of them not broken.
That must be a tough one. I dropped them on the pavement.
Don't you try to laugh this off. I was taking those eggs to the hospital.
Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. Anyway, you're bringing me Grandad home in half an hour. He can eat them here. What a tuck-in. An 11-egg omelette.
I was giving them to the sister for the nurse as a little thank you gift.
Well, I'll go for some more.
You will not. I'll go out myself. Get us some chocolates. Now, listen. Mr. Brocklebank's taking me to the hospital in his car, so if he calls, tell him I'll be back in a quarter of an hour.
Chocolates? Oh, save your strength for the hospital trip. I'll fetch the chocolates.
Oh, no, you won't. I'd look a right fool presenting the sister with an empty box. Now, please, try to keep out of mischief for 5 minutes and put those broken eggs in a bowl.
I'm beginning to think she doesn't trust me. Oh, heck, the front door again. I'm coming. Oh, it's Alfie. Are you taking the dozen eggs now or just paying for them?
Yeah, how much have it? What am I saying, eggs? Well, what eggs?
Oh, they're a surprise for us, Susan. Don't tell her how much you pay for them.
Yeah, I won't. I'll keep it. Eggs. A surprise for you, Susan. Well, what are you on about?
When she gets back from the hairdresser's, I'm going to give her an egg shampoo. Broke some eggs and Big Mouth Bertha told me, Mum. That reminds me. I must get a bowl. It's still in the carrier bag. Come on, Alfie.
Here I am, Jimmy. Yeah, where are we going?
In the kitchen. Do you know, Alfie, they ought to feed hens with elastic, and then they'd lay rubber eggs.
You'd never be able to collect them.
Why not?
Well, every time Anne laid a rubber egg, it'd bounce back again. They'd get fed up trying.
You're as daft as Dickie Dotty. Here, hold the bag. I'll pick the eggs out and put them in this bowl.
Right.
Ugh, they aren't half sticky.
What are you two doing?
Help!
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. I didn't mean to startle you. It was the front door was open, so I just walked in.
Oh, it's all right, Mr. Brocklebank. Pick the eggs up, Alfie. What's left of them.
Oh, dear, have I made you break some eggs?
Oh, no, Jimmy brought me a ham, lads.
Sorry, Alfie, I was aiming for your mouth. It wasn't really your fault, Mr. Brocklebank.
Oh, but it was. I must pay your mother for them.
Oh, she wouldn't take your money, Mr. Brocklebank. But if you'd like to give it to me...
You'll do nothing of the kind. Hey, broker, Mr. Buttlebunk.
Buttlebunk.
I'll tell you the truth.
Oh, James, you fibber.
I didn't tell a fib. I said it wasn't your fault.
Ah, but when and you said it wasn't, I knew you meant it was, and you knew that I knew, didn't you?
What?
You.
Who?
You.
Me?
Yes.
What?
You.
You?
Yes, me. You!
Jim's gone. You want to play, Alfie?
Yes, I don't mind. What are you talking about?
Who?
You.
Me?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Who?
You. Yeah, him. Yeah, both of you. Be quiet. Now, what about these eggs?
Oh, well, they're like Alfie. They're a bit cracked.
Yeah, take your thing. Pick the bag up yourself.
All right. Keep your crash helmet on.
Now, don't be rude, James. You'd better give me the bag.
I can manage. I know what I'm doing.
Look, James, before there's another accident, just give it to me this instant.
All right, then. Catch.
No!
Poor egg.
No, James, my suit. It's covered in egg. Oh, how horrible. But I can't go to the hospital looking like this.
No, you'll think your suit's got yellow jaundice.
No, how does Humphrey Brocklebank... wearing a two-piece suit in duck egg blue, made from real duck eggs.
Most amusing. I have to go home to change my clothes, so I shall not be ready to take your mother to the hospital at 2 o'clock. So you can tell her what happened, James. Perhaps she won't think it so funny.
Now, clever fellow, what are you going to do?
I don't know. Perhaps you and me could fetch me Grandad home. You think he'd be warm enough wrapped in a blanket on your pillion?
Oh, you'll have to get a taxi or something.
Of course. Ozzy's dad, Mr. Higginbottom, he just changed his taxi for another one. I'll ring him.
But what are you going to tell your man?
Who?
You.
You?
No, me. See, wrap up.
Jim's winning. 2-0.
Are you sure the taxi's coming, Jimmy?
Ma'am, Mr. Higginbottom promised. He'll be here any minute.
I still don't understand about Mr. Brocklebank. Why should he be showing you a trick with broken eggs?
Well, I was a bit puzzled myself. He's here. Get your handbag, ma'am. I'll open the door. Hello, Mr. Higginbottom.
Don't start anything. I haven't the time to listen. But anyway, knowing you, it'll be something rude, so I'll clout you first.
Ha ha, very funny. My mum's just getting a handbag. Are you busy?
Yes. After I've done this job, I've got 3 loads to take to the football ground.
Loads of what?
Shut up, Tiny Tim.
All right, Big Ben.
What was that?
I was wondering what time it is.
It's 2:50. We've been lucky to make it for 2:00.
Ain't that battered all right? You'll be lucky to make it to the end of the street.
Now listen, one more word out of you and you'll be wearing my spare wheel for a collar.
Well, I'm ready to take him, bottom. We'll have to hurry.
Well, that's up to you, ma'am.
What do you mean? I'm not driving the taxi.
No, ma'am. You'll be pushing it. Keep going, Mr. Brocklebank. You're doing fine. A bit more throttle, and you'll just about pass that steamroller.
Now, look, James, let us do this trip in silence. I wouldn't be doing it at all if you hadn't told me of the state of Higginbottom's taxi, not to mention his temper. And I have my gravest doubts whether this really is a shortcut to the hospital.
Of course it is. This is the way we brought Ozzy in the headmaster's car, the day he got the marbles stuck up his nose. Now, when you get to that horse trough, you turn sharp left, unless you fancy a quick bath.
Very funny. Now, what horse trough, James? Give a quick, what horse trough?
Oh, I'd forgotten. Yes. They pulled it down. Round this corner at the top.
Well, which way, left or right?
Let me think, left or right. I know it's one of them.
Well, James, we're nearly there.
Look out, that taxi coming round the corner.
James, did you see that?
Yes, but you didn't. You had your eyes shut.
Stay in the car there, the maniac, and I'm going to give him a piece of my mind.
No, I'll come with you. If there's going to be a fight, I'd better hold your coat.
I'll teach this lout a lesson. Step out of that cab, you road hog.
Road hog? I'll stick your head in your big hand, you wet-looking. It's you, Brocklebank.
Oh, Higginbottom. Well, are you aware that your front bumper has scraped my body?
If you don't belt up, my left fist will scrape your lug hole.
Keep it up, you two. There's a crowd gathering. When it gets big enough, we'll have a whip round to pay for the damage.
Quiet, James. Now then, what do you think you were playing at coming round the corner like that?
Listen, Thurrock Face. It was your fault, you and that old tin biscuit box you call a car.
Well, really?
I don't care whose fault it was. Get me home. You've started my back off again.
I'm sorry, Mr. Sinclair, but blame this hooligan.
Humphrey, what happened?
I'll tell you, ma'am.
What are you doing here, Jimmy?
I was showing Mr. Brocklebank a shortcut to the hospital. When round the corner comes Benner Higginbottom. And when I looked round, I saw Mr. Brocklebank's face. It gone green.
How long have we gone to be stuck here? I'm freezing. I'm freezing in this ice box.
Don't worry, Grandad. We'll soon sort it out.
Now then.
Well, this policeman will.
Yes, I happen to witness this little spot of bother.
Oh, good. Then perhaps you will arrest this lout Higginbottom for dangerous driving.
Oh, I couldn't very well do that, sir.
But he was driving on my side of the road.
Yes, sir. He was entitled to. This is a one-way street.
Oh, heck.
You might well say, oh, heck.
I didn't know it was a one-way street.
Well, you could have looked out for the sign.
I couldn't. I was watching your speedometer. Because we were going like mad up the road and it wasn't moving.
Shame!
Oh, a defective speedometer, eh? Now, that's serious.
Look, Constable, while you're arresting Crippin here, can I shove off? I mean, after all, I was in the clear.
You can if you like. Because now I've got your number, I can book you later on.
What?
I don't see any windscreen wiper on that taxi.
Well, I know, but I've only just got it. Flash Harry said he'd let me have one tomorrow.
And that rear mudguard's a bit loose. Not to mention the fact that you are carrying passengers and your flag is not down.
The old man in the taxi there's not well. I didn't want his blood pressure going up as well as the meter.
Constable, My father's just come out of hospital. We want to get him home.
All right, Mother. I shall be as quick as I can, but I have my duty to do.
It's all this brat's fault. He wants a good belt.
A what?
A belt.
Who?
You.
Me?
Yes.
What?
A belt.
Who?
You.
You?
You. Yes, me. I'll kill him, I will. I'll kill him.
Come on, Jimmy. You've got a face like soup out of the wet shirt.
Isn't there any way I can cheer you up?
No. I'm fed up. 38 up.
Well, I know how you feel. I mean, after all, I was the lad myself once.
Were you really?
Oh, yeah. Hey, don't be funny. Listen, you've got off easy. When I got in trouble as a lad, my dad was a terror. His motto was clout first and ask questions afterwards. I remember once a ragman called and I gave him my dad's best suit by mistake. But I should have known it was his best suit because it was a pack of cards and a bottle opener in the right-hand pocket. When he got home from the cemetery, he went up the wall. He was working there. The cemetery, not up the wall. He said, well, what did he get for my suit? I said, 2 tiddlers in a jam jar. He said, that's not enough. Do you know, he gave me a thick ear as well. My head went numb.
Off sooner or later.
Look, for somebody who's supposed to be in trouble, you're very cocky. Don't you mind having your pocket money stuffed?
Oh, I can soon get some money.
I know, from Alfie Hall, the human piggy bank. Well, you're getting none this time.
All right, so you don't want to hear about our Susan and the milkman. Let's forget it.
We will. I couldn't care. Susan, what about it?
Oh, it's just something our new milkman asked her this morning. A tall, good-looking one who's mad keen to take her out.
All right, I get how much.
What do you mean, Alfie?
Yeah, look, see, you get here too, Bob. Go on, take it.
No, I don't think I should. I know our Susan's not perfect, but she's my sister, and I shouldn't tell on her.
You know, it's my best offer. Too, Bob. Did you want it or not?
All right, I'll force myself. Thanks, Alfie.
Yeah, now then, what did the milkman ask your Susan?
He said, is it here where you have an extra pint on Sundays? And she said, yes.
Jimmy Clither, you crafty little monkey. Wait till Susan comes, I'll tell her.
What will you tell me?
You won't lock him up.
What?
But not you, Susan. It's your brother here, the little Robin Hood.
Well, what's he been doing?
He tried to get me jealous about you and the milkman.
What?
Well, I fell for it because you were his sister, even if you're not perfect. I mean, he said he shouldn't tell him yet, and that the pint of milk cost me 2, Bob. The one you have extra on Sundays, and he doesn't fancy you at all. Yeah, well, perhaps he does, but he didn't. I mean, I asked you for a date. It was Jimmy.
It wasn't, you know. I wouldn't go out with her for £1,000.
I mean, made up a story to trick me. You know, Susan,
oh,
he
we
said...
haven't got time for all that rubbish again. I've got to go out and buy a new hot water bottle for Grandad and find Mr. Brocklebank's thermometer to take his temperature.
Thermometer? Oh, I've got that. It's in my goldfish bowl. I'll take it up to him.
Well, you wash it first, before Mr. Brocklebank puts it in Grandad's mouth.
I know what to do. They told us about it at school.
Well, hurry up with it. Come on, Alfie. You can walk to the chemist's with me and tell me what little Jimmy Liar said about the milkman.
You're right, Susan. I'll see you later, Jimmy, if I'm unlucky.
I'd better take the thermometer up now, before there's any more trouble. Now, what did our teacher say when the flute was on? All sigilical instruments must be hippotomized. Well, something like that. I know you stick them under the hot water tap, so I better do it quick.
There you are, Mr. Sinclair. Those pillows should be quite comfortable now.
Ah, well, thank you, Humphrey. You're a proper little Florence Nightingale and no mistake.
Now, there's no need for sarcasm. I'm doing my best.
I'm sorry, Humphrey. And thank you for the daffodils. They're very nice. Did Pat say she was cooking me a meal?
Yes, it should be ready soon. Now, what can I lend you in the way of books? I brought a few in the car. There's Great Expectations, The Mill on the Floss. Oh, and I've got The Wind in the Willows.
So have I. I'm starving.
Here you are, Father. A nice big plate of steak and chips for you.
Ah, that's a sight to gladden the eyes. My first square meal for weeks. Oh, no, it'll do fine on my knees, Pat. Well, now, here goes.
Oh, just a moment, Mr. Sinclair. Don't eat yet.
What?
Well, I must take your temperature first.
Look, Humphrey, I can assure you, once I get this little lot inside me, there'll be no danger of a relapse.
Well, no, Father. Humphrey's right. There's no sense in eating all that hot food first. Now, oh, where's Susan with the thermometer?
Here we are, Mum. I've got it.
Oh,
come on, Grandad. Open wide. Not too wide. I don't want to put my head in.
Jimmy, give that thermometer to Mr. Brocklebank.
All right, Janet. I'll pass it to Dr. Finleybank. While I have a weak case of the patient's food.
Jimmy, keep your thin hands off my chips. Look, just stick that thing under my tongue.
Right, Grandad. That's it. Now, close your mouth again. That's right. Ooh, that steak looks good. Could I,
Leave it alone, you young rascal.
Well, if I get some bread, can I have a dip of your gravy?
Jimmy, that'll do. Go downstairs this minute.
Oh, Mum!
James, this is a sick room, not a snack bar. Now, Mr. Sinclair, I'll just take the thermometer and... Oh, good heavens!
What's up, Mr. Brocklebank?
Your grandfather is 104.
Happy birthday to you.
That'll do, Jimmy. Humphrey, what shall we do?
Now, keep calm, Mrs. Clitheroe. We must get all the blankets and hot water bottles you've got.
Look, Brocklebank, I don't know what all this is about, but I feel fine. So just let me eat my food in peace.
Oh, there's no food for you, Mr. Sinclair.
What?
Well, you know what they say about starving a fever. Eating is out of the question. Mrs. Clitheroe, we'd better take this tray downstairs and telephone the doctor.
But I'm starving.
I'm sorry, Mr. Sinclair, but it's for your own good.
Well, that's the steak and chips finished. Oh, I feel full. It's a wonder my braces haven't busted.
All right, Jimmy, don't gloat. I only gave you your granddad's meal because I didn't want it wasted. Oh, the doctor's a long time up there, Humphrey.
Well, now, don't worry. I know Mr. Sinclair's temperature was very alarming, but I'm sure we spotted it in time.
Well, Doctor, how is he?
Well, frankly, Mrs. Clitheroe, I'm very puzzled. I gave him a good check-up, and when I took his temperature just now, it was quite normal.
Well, that's very strange. I assure you my thermometer did show 104.
Are you sure there's nothing wrong with your thermometer? It can break easily enough.
Well, it was all right when I hypnotized it.
Hypnotized it? You don't mean sterilized it?
Yes, I put it under the hot water tap.
What?
Oh. Well, that explains the high temperature, I think.
Oh, Jimmy, you again. I'm sorry we troubled you, Doctor.
No, not at all. Anyway, you needn't worry about your father anymore. Just let him rest his back in bed.
Oh, smashing me. Grandad's all right. Shall I go up and tell him, Mum?
Yes. And while you're up there, tell him what happened to his steak and chips.
All right, I'll tell... What?
I can't get him anything else. The shops are shut till the morning.
Lex, I ate his steak and chips, and he's starving. He'll flay me alive. Doctor, don't go yet.
Why, Sonny?
When my granddad's finished with me, I'll need some splints on my sit-upon.
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, Diana Day as Susan, Tony Melody as Mr. Higginbottom, Brian Truman as the police constable and the doctor, Colin Edwin as Humphrey Brocklebank, and Barbara Mullaney as the sister. The recorded program was written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, produced by James Casey, and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the Kid himself.
Oh, my granddad's feeling much better now. I took him a bowl of cornflake crispies up as a peace offering. And then I told him about the steak and chips. He went white. But he didn't shout. He just said, Jimmy, listen how these cornflake crispies go snap, crackle and pop. And then he poured the lot over me head.